Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is Tish B'Av. We are going to look into the Book of Lamentations in regards to Tish B'Av because it is about the destruction of the first and second temples and the time of mourning and weeping this season that we are coming into. I thank you for joining me. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, come join us and move. Anoint our ears and eyes to hear and see what the Spirit of God would say. Open our hearts to receive your instructions so that we might be found in the way and not be found wanting in that day. Lord, I pray in the name of Yeshua that you come, Holy Spirit, and teach us what you would have us to know this day. In Yeshua's name, amen. Lamentations. It's a lament for a funeral. It's a funeral dirge. It is the funeral of Yerushalayim. And it's a portrait of the once proud Jerusalem, and now it's reduced to rubble by the invading Babylonian army. And it's a 5-point dirge where Yeremiah pours out his emotions. Jerusalem now lies barren and desolate. He writes this particular lamentation in an acrostic or alphabetical fashion. Each chapter with the first letter A, Aleph, he progresses verse by verse through the Hebrew alphabet, literally weeping from Aleph to Tov, Tav, A to Z. And then in the midst of all the terrible destruction that he's describing, he triumphantly cries out in 3:23, "Great is your faithfulness in the face of death and destruction, where life is coming unraveled." He turns the tragedy into a triumph of faith that God will never fail him in the past and will be promised to return and will be faithful in the future. This is the God that he knows and loves, and he finds hope and comfort. So in the first word of chapters 1, 2, and 4 is Echa, Ahal, and the Hebrew word Chinoth or elegies. And it's used as a title because it for the book because it represents the idea. It's a dirge or a lament, tears or lamentations. In the Latin Vulgate, Jerome's Vulgate, it reads, "Id est lamentation Jeremiah prophete," and this becomes the basis for the title, The Lamentations of Jeremiah. So let's read chapter 1 and see what Jeremiah, who is saying. Jeremiah is in affliction. "How lonely," says the city, "that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, and they have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feast, and all her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become her masters, her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Her princes have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Yerushalayim remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old when her people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. The adversaries saw her and mocked at her downfall. Yerushalayim has sinned gravely. Therefore, she has become vile. All who honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness, yet she sighs and turns away. Her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. She had no comfort. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, and it overpowered them, and he has spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day long. The yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in the midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water, because the Comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that those around him become his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandments. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and my elders breathed their last in the city while they sought food to restore their life. See, O Lord, that I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. Outside, the sword bereaves. At home, it is like death. They have heard that I sigh, but no one comforts me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that you have done it. Bring on the day you have announced, that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you, and do to them as you have done to me, for all my transgressions, for my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. So here in this chapter 1, Jeremiah is describing all of the suffering that his eyes see and that has befallen the Jerusalem people at the time of the destruction of the temple. And he's saying, how could this be possible? The beautiful city of Jerusalem, she's ruined. Her enemies are rejoicing and exalting over that city. And he points out this portrait, this vivid stirring of a widow who was once a princess and exalted. Now there's no one to comfort her. Her friends have been treacherous. And Judah also likewise is exiled and dwells in servitude in the nations. And Jerusalem sits mourning and desolate. Even the pilgrims don't come that usually come for the feast to her gates. And she remembers all this bitter destruction and what the glorious era that was before it, and no nation came to her aid. In fact, they rejoiced over her demise. And the prophet says why. She didn't have the ability to contemplate the result of the degenerate state to which she had fallen. She forgot her destiny, and she fell into the pit. And Jeremiah describes the enemy entering the temple, and the people are dying of hunger, and all their wealth that they had before was just to purchase some bread. And he says, I hope you don't have to suffer as I have. Is there anything like this? And so Jerusalem's, there's past glory has been fallen. There's no consolation. And it's a bitter thing. And he says, because I have rebelled against his commandment. And so it is an action that God has taken against the rebelliousness of this city. Lamentations chapter 2. And this is God being angry with Jerusalem. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel, and did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the dwelling places of Jacob. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. He has cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He has blazed against Jacob like a flaming fire devouring all around. Standing like an enemy, he has bent his bow with his right hand like an adversary. He has slain all who were pleasing to his eye. On the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has destroyed her strongholds and has increased mourning and lamentation in the daughter of Judah. He has done violence to his tabernacle. As if it were a garden, he has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feast and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. The Lord has spurned his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palaces into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as on a day of a set feast. The Lord has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore, he has caused the rampart and wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her kings and her princes are among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground and keep silence. They throw dust on their heads and gird themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. My eyes pale with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured out on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is grain and wine?" as they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you, that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and shake their heads at the daughters of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. And they say, "We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we have waited for. We have found it and we have seen it." The Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied, and he has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries. Their heart cried out to the Lord, "O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give yourself no rest. Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands towards him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. See, O Lord, and consider. To whom have you done this? Should the women eat their offspring, the children they have cuddled? Should the priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie in the street, on the grounds in the streets. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied. You have invited as to a feast day the terrors that surround me. In the day of the Lord's anger, there is no refugee or survivor. Those whom I have borne and brought up, my enemies have destroyed. Here the prophet reveals the cause of what happened. What has happened to Jerusalem and why? It's the glory of Israel has been thrown from heaven to the ground. The Jerusalem is on fire. The children are dying of hunger, begging their mothers for food. They're dying on their mother's breast. And what's the cause? What is the cause of Israel's suffering? False prophets lulled them into a sense of security. The Jews couldn't believe it was happening. They were preaching peace and prosperity, and sudden destruction came. They have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. And he called the false prophets to account. And you have listened. There are always, always historically, in the prophets, God would send his true prophets to warn them that the consequences of their sins would be defeat, destruction, and exile. Why don't they listen? Because for every true prophet that's come from God, there are many, many false prophets. And the Bible all exhorts repeatedly that people don't listen to the false prophets. So while Jeremiah was warning the people, if they didn't, you know, change their ways, Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed, the false prophets are saying, oh no, everything's going to be okay. We're going to have peace and prosperity. Okay? And God, who is slow in his wrath and anger, when it did come, it was complete. He left. And all these nations clap and whistle and believe, oh, mocking her is this Jerusalem. And then they're saying, finally, you know, we get to see what we've been waiting for. And then the Jews say, look at what you've done. And you know what the prophet replies? The prophet says, you fellow Jews murdered the prophet Zechariah in the temple courtyard on Yom Kippur for rebuking you about your deeds. Don't forget. And this is very interesting, I think, right now, because there is a destruction. God does bring his discipline and his anger. He sends his prophets. He begs the people. He cajoles. He tries. He tries to reason with them, to turn them from their wicked ways. And just because he doesn't do it immediately, or it's a soft discipline, meaning that it's not this total judgment and expulsion, they don't listen. And so he has to have more and more severe discipline. They turn away and they become harder and harder and harder until there's no place left for repentance. Their heart's been given over. And Zechariah, who was murdered for rebuking them, is actually all about the restoration of the Jews in the last days and what God is going to do. And he's really, it's a hand-in-hand book to go with the restoration of the tabernacle of David, that season that we are now entering. So here, it's Jeremiah is, it's like a song, you know, it's a song of weeping, a song of weeping, a song of travail for what has happened. After years and years and years of begging and pleading and trying to get the Jews to turn away, now the destruction has come. And this is what happens. This is what it says. I have rebelled against your commandments, you know, and every place of destruction, the commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. In every place they rebelled against them, there was a like repercussion You know, they turned away from the temple and it was destroyed, and the king and priests would not listen to the prophets and they were destroyed. God would not listen to them because he sent a spokesperson in. They were all listening to what they wanted to hear, ear-tickling prophecy. They didn't want to hear it. I just give me a good time. I'm having a hard time, you know. Those who were beautiful and had beautiful, delightful things to eat couldn't even find a piece of bread or some grape juice any longer. They sold all their wealth to try to get something to eat. And what was once a beautiful princess with a royal crown on her head was cast down into the ground, and her nakedness was seen before the world. And all her enemies rejoiced over him. It is a law of cause and effect. You reap what you sow. If a nation does not come into the commandments of God, he will send his destruction. These are judgments. Poverty, cannibalism, all these types of destruction, these are judgments from God. Okay, you want your way here, I'll give you your way. I'll withdraw my spirit, I'll leave and I'll turn. I'll leave the temple and I will no longer be your God. You will no longer hear me. If you have not heard me and responded to me, then I will no longer hear you and respond to you in like manner. You have turned your back on me, I will turn my back on you. And in that day of calamity, you know, I will not hear you. For you provoke my anger. A nation that provokes my anger brings destruction upon themselves. But righteousness exalts the nation. And God, it doesn't, you know, if you apply God's principles across the board, you will see that nation that will be exalted in righteousness. And this is a very serious repercussion and a fruit of what has happened, that the horn of their enemies was exalted over them. That the Lord has allowed it because they have turned their back on him. And he is a jealous God. And he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. You will see God dealing again and again and again in these ways with those that are his. A nation that has broken covenant. People that have broken covenant, and then he calls them to account before him to season. There's a season of maturing. And when the season of the fields, there's this beautiful wheat field and the wheat, and the enemy has come in and thrown tares. And all of a sudden, at the time of harvest, the wheat bows its head in humility and serves God, but the tares lift their head up and say, nothing's going to happen to me until it's all cut down and separated. And so this is a song for us. Turn before the burn comes, before the destruction by fire. Turn and repent. Teshuvah, make repentance. This is a time of introspection, to fasting that we're going to come into soon. During this month, to fast and to look at our ways and to examine them in the light of God's holy word, to come and cleanse ourselves from our unrighteousness and our impurity, our profanity before the Lord. So, Father, I pray that even as we open up this song of weeping and mourning, that we would listen. We would hear what you are saying, and we would turn and repent before greater destruction would come upon us as nations, as states, as cities, as communities. Lord, we cry out for your mercy. Give us the gift of repentance, for this is something that truly is a gift from you, and that our hearts will become circumcised. And your commandments will be written in them, and the Spirit of God will enable us to keep them. In Yeshua's name we pray. And Father, I pray for the blessing of the Lord to come upon and fall upon the ears and the eyes that hear and see in the hearts, and that they would be softened by your Ruach HaKodesh to turn and love you and be faithful to you. Now I turn to other idols and gods. And so, Father, let your gentle rain and touch come in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Thank you and goodbye. This has been produced by Kathleen Pearl, www.kdpirlministries.org. You're free to copy these. You're free to link people to hear them. I ask that you keep the teachings in context with how they were delivered in order to maintain the integrity. And God bless you.